Open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We'll also be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and Acts chapter 20, but you want to go ahead and get it in 1 Corinthians 16. We'll read our text here in just a moment. Bear with me this morning. I know since we don't have PowerPoint this morning, so I haven't go ahead and put the title up so you can see the where we're beginning at. I will do my best to slow down, but I think y'all have heard me preach long enough that that's not likely to happen. For those of you who are visiting, I get a little excited. I move around a little bit. Sometimes I get to talking really fast because I get excited. I used to write notes on my outlines. Take a breath. Slow down. I have hash marks on my outline, if you saw them, to help me to pause. And I had a preacher pull me aside one day and said, "Preacher, I noticed something different about your preaching. Those pauses were pretty dramatic." Just be yourself, brother. And this comes from an elderly preacher. Just be yourself. God will slow you down and the people will learn to be fast listeners. And so I trust that you will learn to adjust. And I am trying a little bit, but maybe as I get older, I will slow down. But I get excited. I can't help it. I get excited about the things of God. I get excited about preaching. But let's look in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We'll read verses 15 through 18. We'll go on with our theme of biblical addictions. Last week, we looked at the addiction of praise. And today, we'll look at the biblical addiction to preaching and the biblical addiction of Holy Spirit power. And so let's go ahead and read our text. "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Archaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." You know, I think it's a good idea that we acknowledge other believers when they're a blessing. It's a good idea to acknowledge other believers when you see them serving and living for the Lord Jesus. It's a good idea to acknowledge our young people, our kids, our grandkids when they do good things. Because typically they only hear it when they do something wrong. It's good to let them know to acknowledge these things. But look with me this morning. Again, last week was the biblical addiction to praise. This morning, number two, the biblical addiction to preaching. In Acts chapter 20, if you haven't turned there already, in verse 7, Acts 20, verse 7, keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians, we'll be back. Paul is speaking to some of his missionary journeys, and in verse 5 of Acts 20, he speaks of tarrying at Troas, and Troas is what is now modern-day Turkey. But I want you to know that the people of Troas loved preaching. Now, you can always tell the sports fans during season because they had that flag just a waving when they're going down the road, whether it be the Diamondbacks or the Cardinals or whatever's your team in the area. Can you imagine having one of those flags on your car going to church on Sunday that's the flag of, "I love preaching"? But Troas loved preaching. Notice what it says there in Acts 20, verse number 7. "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them," you ready? "Ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto" when? "Midnight." Sometimes when you think, "I'm a little long-winded, look at the clock. "Unto midnight. Paul started sometime during the daylight hours and preached unto the people, according to the word of God, until midnight. Today we want our preaching short and sweet. Paul's preaching was often long and rough." Can you picture the average Baptist or any church denomination coming to church and sitting for 10 or 12 hours of listening to preaching? You see, our attention spans have become too short for the preaching of the gospel. And part of that can be video games and our phones. It's like we want that interaction nonstop all the time. But can you imagine that? Our attention spans are short. We are too concerned about people coming to church and being comfortable. Look, there's nothing wrong with coming and being comfortable where you sit, but I would much rather enjoy the fellowship and the preaching and being around God's people than just being comfortable spiritually speaking. See, if you get folks too comfortable, guess what? They fall asleep. Wake up, Brother John. They fall asleep when they get too comfortable. Paul lost one of his long preaching, just one. There was a man by the name of Eutychus who was up in the third loft of the building, who fell asleep into a deep sleep. He was not just dozing, he was sound asleep. The longer Paul preached, the harder he slept. It finally got so bad that he fell from the loft, and everyone in the church service thought that the man had fallen dead. Paul stopped his preaching and went over to him, according to the word of God. He says, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." See, Eutychus unintentionally interrupted the service. When they discovered that he was not dead from the fall, they broke down and went back to the preaching, broke bread and went back to preaching. Amen. I can remember in Bible college working all night long, 12-hour shifts, coming into Greek class at 7 a.m., getting off at 6, coming to chapel service at 11, being so tired, and a lot of the younger guys would go to the back of the room, stand up to keep from falling asleep. Because you didn't want to fall asleep in chapel. You didn't want to fall asleep in a class. In fact, our pastor was known to slip out if he noticed someone sleeping and go up and sit next to them for just a few minutes. But those guys would stand in the back of the auditorium, and I kid you not, this one dear brother was so tired, lived in the dorm, worked all night and probably overdid it, and that poor fellow just went boom in his sleep, right flat on his face, right during class. Now, I hope that never happens here, but here in our Bible, the preaching was all night. Maybe he had worked all night. Maybe it was a long day. But still, I want you to notice how long did Paul preach in verse 11. It says, till breaking of the day. See, when the sun came up the next day, he was still preaching. Paul was blessed with a good set of lungs. But dear friends, we need to realize that I'm never going to preach that long. I mean, if I preach an hour, which I have done before, that will be on the extent. But here, they just enjoyed good preaching at Troas. Many of them may not have had a chance to hear preaching every week. He was traveling on his journeys, and when he came by, as seldom as he did, they just wanted to hear all they could get from Brother Paul. They liked good preaching. Imagine what the reaction of a pulpit committee would have been if they had been there at Troas that night. I doubt they would have contacted Brother Paul about candidating. He would be too long-winded for the average pulpit committee today. Dear friends, in all seriousness, a lot of church members are more concerned about dinner arrangements and where they're going to eat after church is over than they are about listening to the preaching of the Word of God. Don't misunderstand me. I want to be sensitive to your time. I know I don't want to be too long on Sunday nights when we have kids going to school the next day, Wednesday nights. But the bottom line is I want to also be obedient to the Lord and quit when the Lord says quit. I need to prepare and I need to present the gospel, present the Word of God, and people should respond. Dear friends, we can take little today, but our problem is that we can't seem to handle too much. We'll sit down and watch a ball game for 4 hours, but we'll look at our clocks at 12 o'clock and think, well, I guess 11 o'clock here in Arizona, back south, the people got down around 12. Well, he's carrying the message. It's 1 minute after 12. He's carrying the message. It's a little after 11. Dear friends, do we come here to leave or do we come here to worship? Amen? Do we come here to hear preaching and fellowship or do we come here just to check a box? Friends, you don't build a church on preaching alone. There must be music as well. You don't build a church on music alone. There must be preaching. It takes the combination of both for the church to thrive and to grow. Good Christ-honoring music and good balanced preaching of the Word of God. Dear friends, even fellowship, just getting together, will not take the place of preaching of the Word of God. But we need to have fellowship. It is good when the saints of God get together or to fellowship and share the spiritual blessings of the Lord. It's good for our ladies to get together in fellowship. It's good for us men to get together in fellowship over a cup of coffee or over a meal. To iron sharpeneth iron, the Word of God says, and we encourage one another. It is good for the saints to share time together before and after the services. I love it. If you haven't noticed it lately, most of the time, I'm the last one to leave. I'm not always the first one here, but pretty close, but the last one to leave. And when I leave this building and I go out in the parking lot and I still see people out in the parking lot talking and fellowshipping, I can't help but to smile ear to ear. a good sign of a healthy, thriving, growing church because we enjoy being around our church family. You see, the church at Troas found out what could happen if you do not pay attention to preaching. You just might fall asleep and fall out of your chair. But no, what about it this morning? Have you come for the preaching? Have you come for the music? Have you come for the fellowship? All those things should come together with a balance. This young man, Eutychus, this man about lost his life because he got careless about the hearing and the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to get a little serious here and we'll go on to our next point. Dear friends, I'll guarantee you that after Eutychus fell out of that loft during the preaching service, that he was keenly focused on what Brother Paul had to say. Let me encourage you. I make it a habit. This is personal preference. I make it a habit of not doing a whole lot of fellowshipping on Saturdays late. I enjoy being around people. I'll take invites. I'll even go to a ball game. But I want to be home around 6 or 7. I want to have a wind down for me to get my heart and mind for the day, for the next day of service. I want to get my heart and mind on my outline, reviewing it. When my kids were home, yeah, I'm a mean dad. Here's some things I used to do. When my kids were at home on Saturday night, my kids had to, and my daughters and my son, had to go to mama and say, this is what I'm wearing tomorrow. I promise I will not change my mind when I wake up. Amen? This is what I'm wearing. And Michelle would say, what shoes are you wearing with that? I mean, they laid out their clothes on Saturday night in preparation for the Lord's Day. We just didn't wake up when the alarm bell went off, running around figuring out what I'm going to wear. If we did that in our house, my girls, half of the wardrobe would be on the bed before they decided what they're wearing. So we got ready. And what I'm saying is we should start the frame of mind in our hearts and minds Saturday for the Lord's Day on Sunday. Making sure we get in bed on time, making sure we're well rested, winding down a little bit. I even get up at 6 o'clock or even earlier on Sunday mornings most days. A time to have a cup of coffee, have my devotions, have a little quiet time myself and with my wife, and then we start making our way and getting ready for church. Because guess what? Sunday is the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. They enjoyed preaching at Troas. They prepared for it. I'm not telling you to get ready for long preaching here going forward. What I'm telling you is get ready for the preaching. Get ready for church. Get your heart and mind ready. Put away the cares of the world. Prepare on Saturday night. Get in bed a little early. Get well rested so that you're at your best. I can remember growing up playing ball. My dad coached me. At home, he worked too much, but spent a lot of time with me. He always encouraged me to get rest and get in bed early before the big game. Our coach was saying the same thing in high school and college. Gentlemen, you guys get in bed early for the big day, get you some rest. And why not do the same, if not more, for the Lord Jesus on his day? Be prepared. See, a person gets into trouble when he or she begins to turn a deaf ear to the preaching of the Word of God. Don't turn a deaf ear. Be at your best. See, we invite trouble when we will not listen to the proclamation, the preaching of the Word of God. God has prepared something. And if I'm obedient, which I do my best, and I pray and I prepare, I have my outline, I'm ready to go, I want to be yielded to give you exactly what God wants you to have. So are you ready to receive what God has for us today? Dear friends, do you long to hear preaching every day? If so, you may have an addiction to preaching. Maybe there are those here today that have an addiction to preaching as well. Amen. I remember a lady in our church some time back. It wasn't too long ago. Her name was Miss Sheba. And Miss Sheba was 80s, 70s, 80s. Very spry, short woman. Just real. I mean, she was 5 foot nothing, 4 foot something. And every time we had a fellowship after church, every time we had a fellowship before church, she wouldn't always make it because of her health, and she couldn't eat after a certain time. So she would always come by when we announced a fellowship, and she'd say, preacher, I got a question. He goes, you know I can't eat after 6. She goes, will there be preaching? If there'll be preaching, I'll be there. I mean, she loved preaching. You go by Miss Sheba's house, her radio was on. She listened to gospel music and preaching all day long. She just enjoyed preaching. Dear friends, do we enjoy the preaching of the Word of God? Do we enjoy being around God's people? Biblical addiction of praise. The biblical addiction of preaching. And thirdly this morning, or my last point, the biblical addiction of Holy Spirit power. Look at 1 Corinthians again. Look over in chapter 2. chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, I love to hear those pages turning. The Bible says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power." Excuse me, "in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You see, we have learned too much about the how-to today. Friends, there is nothing wrong with studying the how-tos. We study preaching from books and we think that we know how to. We study soul winning in books and think we know how to. We watch DIY videos and we think we know how to. Nothing, absolutely nothing takes the place of the Holy Spirit moving in and giving you power to serve. Will we, are we willing to yield ourselves and say, "Lord, take control of my life. Lord, work in me, work through me to make a difference." And dear friends, I am so thankful for those times in my life that I've seen God move in to a service and just take charge. The bottom line is this: if he is not leading, that means we are leading, and that spells trouble. I mean, who's leading this cart here? Who's leading the church? I know God has ordained pastor, deacons, congregation, but it's him that needs to be the driver. We need to yield to him and his leadership. If we don't do that, we might as well just nail up the doors and the windows and walk away, because it's going to become a religious social club. We want the Holy Spirit here. We want the Holy Spirit guiding and working in our lives. You see, the Bible speaks of Joshua being near Jericho and that he saw a man standing there in the book of Joshua with a sword drawn. Joshua walked up to him and asked him, "Are you for Israel or for our enemies?" He got right to the point. And I failed to tell you, but go ahead, I'll pause there a moment. Go ahead and turn over to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. Joshua 5 and verse 13. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, 'Art thou for us or for our adversaries?' And he said, 'Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come.'" I'm going to pause just there for a moment. This is absolutely free, not even in my outline. Just came to me. Could you imagine coming to church and just imagine yourself, the captain over the Lord, being in every corner of our auditorium? Amen? And coming and asking ourselves, knowing that he is for us and not against us. We need to ask ourselves when we come in, are we for Harvest Baptist Church? Are we for the Lord Jesus? Are we for what God is doing here? Are we for going in the direction that we are going? And if we are, we need to get excited about and rejoice at what the captain of the Lord, the host of the army, is doing here and how we're beginning to grow, see families come to church, see families get right with God, and see people get excited about serving, knowing that we're yielding ourselves so that God can lead us. And if we can't do that and we're not willing to follow the Lord, and I hate to even say this, we might as well nail up the boards and put Ichabod above it. But if we're going to allow the Lord to reign freely, and we're going to have that addiction, not just preaching, but the movement of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and follow him, I believe it's been a long time since our country has seen a great movement of the Holy Spirit of God. It's been a long time since we've seen it, even maybe in some of our churches. I've read about revival. I've gotten excited about it. I've been in services in Bible college because they had a big must ministry, and seeing folks come in and seeing professions made, seeing 100 people get saved in one weekend. But that's with a huge must ministry and a city of 1 million people. And I'm not trying to limit that. But what I'm saying is God can do anything he wants if we allow him to. We hinder the Spirit of God. But if we enjoy preaching and we want the Spirit of God in our midst, he can do great things for us. What did the... Let me go back to verse 14. "And he said, 'Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, 'What saith my Lord unto his servant?' And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, 'Loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Dear friends, when we walk on these grounds, we get out of our car, and our mind, we're to take off our shoes. Imagine that we're on holy ground. We're at a place where God has ordained, where the bride of Christ exists here as a local church. This is where God works and moves. Does he do it in our homes? Does he do it in the streets? Yes. But we're coming on Sunday morning. We're coming on Sunday night. We're coming on Wednesday night for the purpose of fellowship and singing and worship and preaching and teaching and the moving of the Holy Spirit to take place. So we should have that thought in our mind. What did the captain of the Lord of hosts tell Joshua? He says, I am not here to take sides, but I have come to take over. Are we going to allow the Spirit of God to rule? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 4, that his preaching was not with enticing words of man, with man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. You see, dear friends, Paul could have geared his ministry with enticing words of man's wisdom. He was an intelligent man. He was trained by Gamaliel. He spoke multiple languages. He was well-trained, well-taught. Again, he could speak several languages, but he didn't operate in the flesh. Dear friends, harvest, God can turn the service over to us. And we don't want that, amen? We don't want the Lord to turn it over to us. We want to turn it over to him and let him have his way. See, it is a tragedy when we seek to do the work of God in the energy of human flesh and human wisdom. What should we do in our services? Allow the Lord to show up in power. Don't hinder the Spirit of God with a bad attitude or a critical spirit. I know it can be difficult, but we've all seen it. You know how it goes. Something goes wrong at the house. We have a little disagreement. We're arguing on the way to church. The kids are in the back screaming. Mom and dad are just about to pull their hair out. They're just... Wah, 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 wah. As soon as they get to church and get ready to go out, all of a sudden, as soon as that car door opens, the face changes. But does the heart and the attitude change? Are we able to separate the world, our frustrations, and maybe what the devil popped up? There's an old saying we should say. Remember the old games in the video arcades of whack-a-mole? You know what? The pastor plays whack-a-mole 7 days a week. Something pops up here, wham. Something pops up here, wham. So I've decided I'm going to take some of those little batons and give them to my deacons to help out. They're going to pop up here and there, but even in our own life. And we just walk away from them and say, Lord, that will be there when I get back. I've come to worship. Amen? I've come for the preaching. I've come for the Holy Spirit to work in my life. Lord, I didn't come to church saying, oh, Lord, you know old Sister Susie, you know old Brother John over there. Lord, you really need to work on them. They need to be at the altar. No, we need to come to church and say, Lord, work on me. Lord, work on me. Lord, show me what needs to change. Show me what needs to be different. Lord, I yield myself to you. Please help me. I'm here for the preaching. I'm here for the Holy Spirit power to move in my life to help me to grow. Dear friends, again, don't hinder the Spirit of God with a bad attitude or a critical spirit. Allow him to, as the kids used to say, allow him to show up and to show out. My kids used to say, yeah, he thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. Or, yeah, what about it? Does it even cross your mind when you're coming to church? Boy, I can't wait to see what the Spirit of God's going to do today. We should. I mean, when Michelle's in the kitchen whipping up a meal, I don't care if it's pinto beans and cornbread or steak and gravy. I don't care. I can't wait to sit down and eat. I get excited. Sometimes my mouth waters just a little bit, and I have to go in and say, is it done? Or she slips out in the bathroom, I got to go in and find a spoon and stir it and give it a taste. Because I just can't wait. Is our frame of mind about coming to church the same way? I can't wait for the singing. I can't wait for the preaching. I can't wait to see what God does in my life and the life of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Dear friends, allow him to show up. Allow him to show up and show out in and through your life. Get out of the way and let him work. He can do so much more through us than we could ever do on our own power. I am glad the Christian life does not depend on me or does not depend on you. Philippians 2, verse 23 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Michelle, if you want to make your way for the piano, we'll have our invitation in just a moment. I just wanted to close or give you a thought before we get ready to pray. What is your anticipation? What is your vision? What is your hope? What is your dream? We go to our kids. We go to our grandkids. Give them a piece of paper and say, write down your wish list for Christmas. Do they have any problems filling the page front and back? Not at all. In fact, one of my son-in-laws, he fills out a Christmas list and emails it to all his family members. And he's in his 30s. Is there anything wrong with us having a prayer list, a wish list of what God might do through me, my family, my pastor, and my church family? There's nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, it gives us something to pray for. It gives us something to hope for. It gives us something to get excited about. So this morning, let me ask, are you excited about the ministry here at Harvest? Are you excited, enjoying preaching? Are you excited and can't wait to see what the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit does next in our service? Then I think the best thing that we can do is make up a decision. I said this morning, when our men come to pray, when we approach the throne of grace, it's not how we appear physically, but mentally in our line, our heart, how do we approach the throne of grace? With humility? See, we've got some men that have a hard time kneeling and getting up. We can still approach the throne of grace in our heart and our mind, kneeling and prone to God with the right attitude. So I want to ask you this morning, where you stand here in just a moment, or here at the altar, I want to ask you, if you have not already, to do business with God and say, Lord, I want to yield myself in such a way that I will never hinder the power of the Spirit of God in the midst of our church family, Harvest Baptist Church. Father, I'm going to do myself to yield myself to just decide I'm going to enjoy the preaching, I'm going to enjoy the music, and I'm going to get ready for the Spirit of God to speak to me, and then I'm going to obey the Spirit of God. Could you do those things for me? Let's all stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'll have a word of prayer. If God has spoken to your heart, where you stand or here at an altar, you ask the Lord to help you to do those things. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Father, you know the heart of this preacher and his wife, Lord. We desire to serve you, to live for you. Father, we enjoy good preaching. I ache at times for the power of God, Lord, just to work on me, to work in me, and to work through me. Father, help us on a regular daily basis to yield ourselves to you, that you might do something that only you could do, that no one in this community could look and say, look at what they're doing, but they would have to say, look what the Holy Spirit of God is doing at Harvest Baptist Church. Father, help us to get in that frame of mind and to stay there. Father, help us to have that biblical addiction of praise and of preaching and of Holy Spirit power. Father, bless, we ask in Jesus' name. As we pray, the band will continue to play. If God has spoken to your heart, the altars are open.